wife and I are very happy to be here. I think without my asking her previously, she will agree with me that this is one of the best churches we have ever visited.
Hallelujah!
I mean, it's not just singing, it's worshiping. It's not just reading the Bible, it's communicating with the Father. Every aspect of this service is saturated with worship, adoration, pleading, praying, interceding, blessing people. And that is how it should be. It's not just activity, it's coming to meet with God. May the Lord bless everybody here.
Amen.
And may this church continue to bear lasting fruit.
Amen.
For the next few minutes, I want us to go into the Word of God and remind us of some things. And I pray that the Holy Spirit may imprint something permanent upon our hearts, and that we may worship Him in truth and in spirit. Let us pray. Father, expound your word. Father, encourage your people. Father, retrieve our steps into the true way, the way of righteousness, the way of genuine spiritual liberty, the way of obedience, the way of love. Cause us, Lord, to become not just your children, but your agents to spread your light. Bless this church, Lord. Use it in this environment to spread your word. We thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. I want somebody to read for me the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. And the first three verses. Somebody with a loud voice. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Yep.
In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Three, therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts."
Thank you very much. Yes, return to me, and I will return to you. That summarizes our fellowship with God. Many years ago, I was praying, and the Lord took me into a realm. And He told me to preach to people that if we take one step towards Him, He would take 10 steps towards us. I meditated upon it, and it showed me the depth of the love of God for us. He will go and bend Himself over to receive us. If we show any little sign that we love him, he will shower his own love upon us. We will be overwhelmed. Before he said what he said, that if we turn to him, he will turn to us, he said he was angry. Tell my people, I am angry. And God is angry. God has anger, a holy anger. And that anger is against disobedience. That anger is against disbelief, lack of faith and trust in him. I have said this so that we may know the character of God and how he relates to man. If we go away from him, he goes away from us. If we turn back to him, he turns again to us. Because he's a holy God. And in him, there is no darkness. Therefore, if we turn to darkness, the fellowship is broken. When we turn back to him, his mercy reaches out to us. And he receives us again. We are going to discuss that chapter 2 of Titus. And it is with this backdrop that I want us to look at that passage. God is ever ready to receive his children and to receive even sinners who are outside. But there are conditions. And we need to note those conditions. There has been a revival before in our land. But now God is angry because we have deviated from that revival. But he's calling us back. Return to me and I will return to you. There will be days of refreshing again in our land, in our midst, in our families, in our personal lives, as we heed the warning he's giving us. I am angry against sin and disobedience, but if the sinner returns to me, I will return to him. The mercy of God fully overshadows his judgment. And I want us to bear that in mind. The grace of God is powerful, but the grace should not be taken for granted. It is the type of grace that enables a person to live right before God. Amen? Amen. Shall we turn to Titus chapter 2? We are going to start from verse 11. I have chosen this passage for this wonderful church because it's a short passage that contains all the mind of God about salvation and the kingdom. Only 15 verses. But everything that we need to know basically about the kingdom is enshrined in that short passage. Shall we go to verse 11? Verse 11. There it is. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All men. I'm happy about what this church is doing. Going to Ekpe and bringing the word to people in Ekpe. Muslims are there. Idol worshippers are there. All types of charms and, you know, juju can be found there. I know Ekpe. And to go to that place from here and to bring the word of God to people, to show the love of God to people over there, is magnanimous. I want to bless the name of the Lord for that. And I'm praying that this church may press on. Amen. Press on every time to do such acts of holistic evangelism. It's holistic. Caring for the body and the mind and the spirit. Caring for the progress of the people in every way. And sharing the kingdom news with them. I want to encourage us that we may be unique as a church to do that. Because many churches today are just commercial churches. And many people will be surprised when the Lord comes. Many will not make it because they have deviated from the truth. And the anger of the Lord is upon them. You are fortunate to belong to this small church. God does not look at numbers. God looks at quality, not quantity. He's able to fill heaven with so many people from all over, but they must be men and women of quality. So, I encourage that more outreaches may be made into places that they have not heard the gospel. And even right here in America, there are places you can reach. The Lord will reveal those places to you. In America, you must be ready to be laughed at, to be mocked, even to be persecuted. But don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the only power of God unto salvation to every person. The people here need the gospel. Pray to God in this church that he may show you the strategies to reach out to people here. There are people here who are very lonely, aimless, frustrated, people who want to commit suicide every time because they have found that life is meaningless, and yet God is ready to receive them. You will be agents of God to reach many people. So, that is important. The grace of God is for all men, all human beings, no discrimination. And God will use you for that. Amen. And I'm praying that everybody who is listening to me now must have committed himself, herself, to the Lord Jesus Christ. All men means there is no sinner who cannot be saved. Everybody can be saved. There are people who say, well, God cannot receive me. I am too bad. No. He doesn't look at our qualities before he saves us. He looks at us as human beings. And anybody who turns to him, no matter how terrible, is cleansed by the blood that was shed. He became sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God. It's grace. So when a person turns to God, there is a renewal of the mind. And it's that renewal of attitude that makes God to receive him and to make the blood of Jesus effective in his life. If you are here and there are some doubts in your life and you are condemning yourself for not being what God wants you to be, remember, he came for those who are lost. And when you come to him, have faith that he has forgiven all your sins. He died for you 2,000 years ago. In fact, he died for you from the foundation of the world. So when you call upon him, believe that your sins are gone. You don't do anything for that. You are born again. When a child is in the womb, physically, and is to be given birth to, it is not the child who makes the effort. It's the mother who makes the effort. And your heavenly father is your mother and your father. When he says you must be born again, just trust him. Once you confess unto him, and you acknowledge Jesus as your Savior, you are saved. It's by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. That is the true gospel. Don't preach holiness to a sinner. A sinner doesn't know holiness. Don't tell a sinner if he's not perfect, he cannot see God. It's not true. A sinner comes to God first, and then a call to righteousness follows immediately. You don't do anything to receive your salvation. The only thing you do is to turn to God and say you are sorry for the past, and you are saved. All right. That salvation has appeared to all men. Now listen to what the salvation means. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should now live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That is the crux of the matter. Salvation makes us ready to live the life of God. God is preparing a kingdom, and he has been doing it for ages. The kingdom consists of men and women who were sinners, lost into hell, but redeemed by the blood of Jesus and polished by the word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit to do exploits for God. So the first thing God calls us to is a righteous life. Once you are saved, you are to begin to live the life of Christ. Past sins are to go. New things are to take its place. I'm going to refer to some places very quickly so that we may see the dynamics of the new life that has come to us when we, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be holy in this present age, not in heaven. Right from here, we are to be a peculiar people, God's own people, a holy nation. Are we there? In the midst of rotting America, we are to be clean because we are not of this world. We are of another world. We are for heaven. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are of a different culture. Christians all over the world are supposed to be of one culture, the heavenly culture. And we need to know that. Can we go to the book of Colossians quickly? Colossians. I just want us to see the change. If somebody will quickly read verses 1 to 11. Colossians chapter 3.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
Seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. You see, it means from the time you come to Christ, you have a home. You have a permanent home above. You don't think of things below. They are temporary. That is something we must note. That is not being taught today in many churches. People are not thinking of heaven. Teachings are not about heaven. Teachings today are about prosperity. The things the worldly people want to gain, we also want to gain them. This is our home. It seems as if we are going nowhere. Brethren, one thing that is surest is that it's appointed unto every man once to die. And after death, the judgment. Do you know that it is better to remember your death day than your birthday? Huh? Yeah, we celebrate birthdays every time. Huh? But may we remember every time our death day, the day we shall die. That is more important. The beginning is not as important as the end. That's wisdom. Everybody will die, and everybody will face the judgment seat of God, whether he's righteous or not righteous. And there are only two destinations, heaven and hell. There is no purgatory. There's no middle course. The Roman Catholics are deceived. There's no middle course where you will hang in limbo. And then one day, The prayers of some people here will promote you from limbo to heaven. There's nothing like that. That's the devil's deceit. The rosary cannot save. Hail Mary cannot save. Repentance unto Christ, faith in Christ, is what saves. So, what we have just read is very important. Put your mind on things that are above and not on things that are below. Read on. Look, that does not mean that you shouldn't take care of yourself, your family, and so on. But that is temporary. There is a place you are going to. Be a pilgrim. Be a traveler here. We have a home in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I finish, I'm coming back for you. So that where I am, you may also be. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus came from somewhere and he has gone back there to prepare a place for. If there's somebody to be believed in the whole universe, it's Jesus Christ. He cannot lie. He is the truth. Amen? Amen. He is the way. He is the life. Because he rose again from the dead. Because I live, you shall live. That's what he said. We are going somewhere. Look, cheer up in your spirit. If you're passing through any strain, any difficulty, any type of thing that is really burdening you, remember, every day set your mind on your home. You are going there. And that motivates you to live righteous. Because you know where you are going, and the culture there is righteousness, holiness, and love. You begin to practice it right here. Amen? Amen. Only those who have that emblem of righteousness will be there. Godly life right here. Yes?
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in
God. Hold on. You died. You died, though. You died. You are dead. So far as the world is concerned and your friends are concerned, you are a dead person. They can't find you in those circumstances they used to find you anymore. If you are a drunkard before, they don't find you drinking in it again. You are dead. Whenever they gather now, you are not there. You are in the cemetery. You have been buried. If you are a fornicator before, now you better listen to this one very carefully in America. If you are a fornicator before, there's no more fornication. That so-called boyfriend who is actually an enemy is gone. That so-called girlfriend is not your girlfriend, he's your enemy. He has led you astray for so long. You separate. St. Augustine read the Bible, Romans, chapter 6, and he found that anybody in Christ Jesus is a dead person. And he said, so I am dead. I died with Christ, and now I am resurrected with him. I am in high places with him. I am a dead person. And that boy, light girls, you know, St. Augustine of the Bible, of history, he had many chains of girlfriends. So when he now became born again and understood that he was a dead man, he was walking in the city of Milan, in Italy, one day, and two of his girlfriends, who were friends again, saw him going, "Augustine! Augustine!" And Augustine was going, "Augustine!" He was still going. So they ran up and, you know, caught up with him. "Augustine, didn't you hear us calling you? Are you sick? Is there something wrong with you?" You know his reply? "Augustine, you knew before, is not only sick, he is dead." And the Augustine you are looking at now, it's not the Augustine you knew before. He is dead, though. And he marched on. They looked with amazement. And his life started to, you know, change those girls. Because they saw genuine repentance and newness of life in him. And he became a wonderful evangelist, St. Augustine. He turned so many people to God because the change in him was drastic. He understood the meaning of dying with Christ. Listen, when you come to Christ in real terms and you understand that you were buried with him and that you are now raised with him, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In those days of revival in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, our choruses were different, you know. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. You know, meaningful biblical things. Not a single single. What is a single single? It doesn't edify. A single single. No. We sang deep things that, you know, made us grow in faith. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. You see, things like that. I'm praying that those things will come back. So there you are. Hold on there. Are you seeing the second coming being preached in it already? They were taught. The early Christians were taught principles. Christ has gone, but he's coming again. And you are going to appear with him. Even when you die, you will be raised. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's cheer up. Because there's a kingdom already made by God. And your name is written there. There is a book. Just one book. And all the redeemed of the Lord have their names there. And then there are books. Many books. Where the names of those who are going to hellfire have been written. A book and then books. Jesus said it. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that is to everlasting life. And few there are. You are fortunate. You are fortunate. You must be praising God every time. That the grace of God has found you is a wonderful privilege, and we must not misuse it. Amen?
Amen.
So our minds are set in heaven. Jesus is coming again to take us home. This is the doctrine. Yes? I want you to listen to this side very carefully. When you become born again, these are the ABCs, the kindergarten class of our journey as disciples. Because you are now a new person, put to death. Put to death. That means destroy. Now, who is putting to death? Is it God?
No.
Look at it. Is it God?
No.
You, as a new person in Christ, have the power and opportunity to put to death. Don't let God do what you should do. He will not. Put to death. Now, look at the list of things written there. Yes?
Fornication.
Number one. Oh.
Yes.
Look, hold on. This body is no more yours. You stole it from God for impurity. Now you are bought back by the precious blood of Jesus. This body is a contraption made by God for special things. That God may use you to propagate his kingdom. You know what Jesus told the Father? He said, "A body have I prepared for you." Eh? And you're going to say the same thing. Lord, a body have I prepared for you. This body you gave me, I give it back to you fully to obey you. When you live in fornication and adultery, You are sold to the person to whom you have given your body. That's the person you are worshiping. That person has become a rival with God. So both you and the person you have given your body to are going to hell. Look, that is the answer. Continue.
Sorry. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Do you know? Evil desires and covetousness. Greed. Greed that makes a person untruthful, unfaithful. Stealing. Envy, jealousy. They are all part of it. Forging. Unsafe balances. Unsafe weights. Tricks in business. All types of things. Any form of untruthfulness in order to gain becomes greed. The first sin that man committed is the sin of greed. Don't eat that fruit. And he trespassed and ate it. That's it. In fact, almost every sin we commit is greed. Just watch it. When you become content with what God gives you and you are thankful always, you overcome greed. Selfishness instead of selflessness. He said, put these things to death. You can put all of them to death today. It depends on you. It depends on the level of your commitment to God. It depends on how you trust Him and fear Him. The more you put this thing to death, the more you know the presence of God in your life. It means you are coming back to Him and He's also coming back to you. A wonderful fellowship develops. Sin is a barrier to fellowship with God. Yes?
Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
It seems people don't read the Bible. People in the church. God says it clearly that His wrath is coming upon those who continue in these sins. And yet we continue. And we are taught by some pastors that grace covers all those things and that we should continue. My friend, the grace of God brings righteousness. The grace of God does not bring permissiveness. The grace of God delivers us from sin. Because there is a power in the word of God to deliver us. Your word have I kept in my heart that I may not sin against you. And let me tell you one thing. The power within you that makes you overcome one sin is the same power that makes you to overcome all sins. Hmm. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
If you choose to continue in some particular sins, it is because you love the sins more than God. And that is hypocrisy. That's disobedience. That is pride. Shall we continue?
In which you also once walked when you lived in them.
You see, you once walked. Once. That means it should be past. We walked in those sinful ways in the past. But now we are different. He's now going to mention another list of sins. The ones he has mentioned are raw sins. Eh? Yes?
But now you must also put off all this.
Listen. Yes?
Anger.
Wrath.
Malice.
Blasphemy.
Filthy language. Out of your mouth.
You see? Put them out of your mouth. These are emotional things. Many of them are emotional things. Put them away. Look inside and be honest with God. And allow Him to wash you clean as you confess these things and hate them. Practice maketh perfect. When a child wants to walk, he takes one step. and false. And then the determination to walk is always there. Is that not so?
Yes.
He takes four steps and falls. But as he is falling, the bones are becoming stronger. The muscles are becoming toned. And he continues. He never gives up. Okay? When the righteous falls seven times, the Lord will raise him up seven times. God knows what is happening inside you. When you are sincere and you want to make it, he will make you make it. He said, put them all away. Yes?
Do not lie to one another.
Lying. See, take these things one by one. Write them down. The ones which are in your life still, write them down and deliberately come to God and discuss with him. Ask him for power to overcome. Ask him for determination. Look, remove every hypocrisy and pretense. As you overcome one, you put a line across and thank him. Put a line across and thank him. Look, by the time you finish this, the power of the Holy Spirit will fall upon you mightily. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Because we need that power to live right and to be productive and fruitful. Yes.
Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
There's a dynamic thing happening there. You put off and then put on. You put off the old man like a garment. Hmm? And then you put on the new man, which is Christ. Are we okay? You deliberately do it by faith. The life that I live now is no longer my life. Eh? But it is Christ who lives in me. You do it deliberately. Put on Christ. Put on. And when you put on Christ, all the characteristics of Christ will begin to show. The fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now read from verse 12.
Okay. Therefore, as the elect of God, mm-hmm. holy and beloved, mm-hmm. put on tender mercies.
You see, put on. All the things you're going to read are characteristics of Christ. Put on tender mercies, yes.
Kindness, humbleness of mind, mm-hmm. meekness, mm-hmm. long suffering, mm-hmm. bearing with one another, mm-hmm. and forgiving one another.
Yes.
If anyone has a complaint against another, mm-hmm. even as Christ forgave you,
yes.
so also must do. But above all this, put on charity. Put on love,
yeah.
which is the bond of perfection.
You see?
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also you were called in one body and be thankful.
Okay. It's all right. Can you see? There is an exchange. You put off the old man and put on the new man who is Christ. And you do it by faith. By faith, the life that you now live is no longer your past life. You are dead. Now it is Christ who is living in you. And you do this every day. And as you feed upon the word of God every day, the strength to live the life of Christ increases. Amen?
Amen?
It's a wonderful experience. You just find the joy of the Lord filling your heart, the fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians says it. Now, I have just used this one as an example. If you go to the book of Corinthians, you will find it. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, you will find it. If every book has got it like that. Now, let's quickly go back to Titus and finish up. Titus chapter 2. Verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse
12.
Yeah, that is what we have just done. Jump to verse 13, 14.
Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Can you see the second coming again? Can you see it? We saw it in Colossians. We are seeing it here too. Because Jesus is coming again, we are accountable. We are accountable. We will give account one day. Now, that accountability is a spur to make us go on. We are motivated. There is an end. There is a reward. Amen? Every day we should live knowing that one day we are going to meet him face to face, the owner of the universe, the maker of all things.
Hallelujah.
It must be taught. The second coming of the Lord Jesus is imminent. All the signs are being seen. Only little is left. And we must be ready. We must be ready in righteousness, as we have seen. There's no other way. Only those who walk the way of righteousness will meet him. Look, being born again is like enrolling in a university. Are we okay? When you enroll in a university, you are a student, all right. You belong to that school, but you have not graduated. You must do your 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is, and you must pass every stage before the certificate is given to you. If you fail on the way and you continue to fail, you will be sacked. Anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. So it is not once saved, always saved, though. No. You must walk the way of salvation. You must walk it. You must pass your exams. So the second coming of the Lord is to be taught, and accountability must be taught from the word of God. Yes?
Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people.
Have you seen holiness? Holiness coming in again? He is purifying for himself a particular type of people, special. And those holy people have got some work to do. As you read verse 14, you will see the work. Yes?
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things.
It's okay. It's okay. Zealous for good works. The purified people are filled with the Spirit of God, and they go out zealously working for God. That's why I started my preaching here today by saying that I'm encouraged by the fact that this church is going out to reach out, and you are doing it with joy. But I encourage you to do it with greater joy, with greater expectation, with greater zeal. The anointing of the Lord is what makes it possible. Now, let me tell you one thing. When God says he's purifying for himself a peculiar people, it means people filled with God. And I want to show you one short passage that is at the bottom of Jesus' heart about filling us with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, quickly. I'll first of all read verses 15 and 16. Yes, yes.
If you love me, keep my commandments, mm-hmm. and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
Can you see that? Loving God means obedience, and obedience brings the power. I will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not just that. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is more important. The anointing must be continuous. You are a soldier fighting for God, and you must have the anointing and the power all the time. What sustains the anointing is obedience, and obedience is love. Have you noticed that when you love somebody, it doesn't matter how difficult a task he gives to you, you do it. Have you noticed that? Wives, when you love your husbands, it doesn't matter. Look, even if he slaps you 10 times, if you really love him, you will still do what he says he should do. And some people will say, nah, are you foolish? Why are you staying there? Get out. But you see, the love will not allow you to get out. That's it. Parents, have you noticed that you serve your children? Am I here? Do you know that you serve your children? Huh? If a child tells you at midnight that he wants barbecue, huh? And you say, where am I going to get barbecue at this time? If that child cries and cries and cries, you will get out and find something to do. Now, what makes you do it is love. When you love, you serve. Everybody who loves is a servant. Have you noticed it? When you love somebody, you serve that person. And it needs humility to do it. So Jesus says, if you love me, you obey me. And when you obey me and I see your love, I will send the Holy Ghost upon you to abide with you forever. Mark that. Obedience is the key to power. Verse 21, the same chapter, chapter 14. Verse 21.
He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, mm-hmm. and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Oh, what an intimacy and what power. If you have my word and you keep my word, then you love me. And my Father will love you. I, Jesus, will also love you. And I will manifest myself through you. You see, the manifestation of the sons of God. The power of God will flow through you to bless people. Naturally. It's a wonderful, you know, fellowship with God. You reflect Jesus and all his mercies onto people. That's the secret, obedience. Verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him,
yes.
and we will come to him and make our home with him.
That is the ultimate. When God makes your body his temple, when you become a representative of God, it means wherever you go, the Lord has arrived. And you arrive with all his power. You arrive with all his grace. You arrive with all everything. That means you can, like Paul, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And one day he was going to Rome. And he said, when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the power of the gospel of Christ. And he knew what he was saying. He wasn't boasting. His boast was in Christ. Wherever Paul went, things happened. Things happened that Jesus himself did not do when he was on earth. Because of obedience. The anointing was there. There is no power without obedience. Obedience brings power. And obedience is love. We need this power to become a peculiar people in the hands of God. Holy living, anointing, and then service. It's a wonderful thing. So you see, Titus is teaching us that we can be redeemed by God, made holy, filled with the Holy Spirit for good works. And Jesus puts it in different ways. He says, you didn't choose me, but I have chosen you and anointed you. That you may go. There must be a going. The going is part of the obedience. That you may go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should abide. Brethren, let's get to the work. Let's go forth. And know that the anointing is upon us. To break yokes. To set captives free. To build up people in the Lord. Do you know that our character alone, can do a lot. It's not a matter of just talking. It's a matter of living it out. As you live out the Christian life and you speak, there is power, there's potency in what you say. And your lifestyle will change people, even unknown to you. You'll be changing people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to end, but we are still going to look at this Titus chapter 2. If you read verses 1 to 10, you will find four things. He spoke to old men. If you listen to the reading this morning, he spoke to what? Old men. Eh? He spoke to old women. He spoke to young women. And he spoke to young men. And in each one of those four, the emphasis was on living godly, holy lives. So that all the cadre of men and women will receive the anointing of the Lord. And that the whole church should be mobilized for evangelism, teaching, and the use of the gifts of the Spirit to disciple and build a kingdom for God. That is the work of the church. And I'm happy that the setting in this church is for such a thing. I want to commend that Ephesians chapter 4 should be studied in the church, to know all the offices and for people to identify their offices and their gifts, and that every member of this church should be a participant and not a spectator. Everybody must be mobilized at every stage to be doing something for the kingdom. And you will see God promoting every one of them from one level of glory unto another, and they become more effective as disciples of the Lord, bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, bearing much more fruit, and that their fruit should abide. I am praying that the next time we will come here, we will see this church bubbling with greater life, bubbling with testimonies. Amen. And the Lord adding to the number day by day.
Amen.
Quality men and women standing for God.
Amen.
Happy, joyful Christian families. Amen. A bundle of progressive people in every way. Amen. When we seek first the kingdom of God and we seek his righteousness, all the other things other people are running after shall come to us. Those are temporary things. We shall use them and leave those things here and meet with our God. Are you ready to come to God so that he can come to you? Are you ready to look into your heart and see that every dirty thing there is dealt with by the blood of the Lamb? Are you ready to trust his word that says if you love him and you obey him, he will anoint you in a specific way and you will be powerful against all the wiles of the devil, and he will grant you opportunity to draw many other people into the kingdom? Are you going daily to look at Jesus preparing a place for you and for other people, and therefore living a life awaiting his coming? Shall he come and find you pure, fully washed in the blood, rejoicing in the Lord? Are you ready to suffer any type of persecution and misunderstanding as you stand firm in a crooked world? The time has come to save yourself from this crooked and perverse generation and to be a witness for Christ, to redeem other people. You are the light of the world. You are not going to be hidden under the bushel, but you will be on a lampstand. Amen. And you will shine.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the salt of the world. Let your life remove decay from the life of other people. It's a privilege to belong to Christ. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. And the prayer this morning is that, Lord, we love you. Help our unbelief. Lord, increase our faith and love for you. Lord, we want to fellowship with you in a deeper way, in a deeper dimension. Lord, we want your presence in our life. Holy Spirit, fill us to overflow. Make us to obey you gladly, joyfully. Use us, Lord, to capacity wherever we are, unashamed of the gospel. And the invitation I'm giving is for real children of God who want to serve him in every capacity. I want it to be a short time of dedication, a time of commitment to this loving Father who has sent his Son to redeem us. Shall we pray? Raise your hand where you are. Raise that hand where you are as a child of God. I'm going to lay hands on those whose hands are raised. You can come to me here. Just come to me here. You have been serving God already, but you want to reinforce your dedication to God. You want this continuous anointing that comes from continuous obedience. If two people shall agree on anything that touches his will, he will do those things. I'm going to lay hands on you. As I touch you, by faith, claim all the powers of God to be consistent and faithful in doing whatever he tells you to do. You want to rejoice in service. And you are telling the Lord, a body have I prepared for you. Father, this is a time of covenant in this covenant church. And as I put my hand on this, your children, may they not be only children. May they be obedient children. May they not just take the privilege of a child. May they voluntarily become servants. Lord, let the deep desires of their hearts be according to your will. As they determine to obey you in everything, let them experience extraordinary, unprecedented power. Lord, surprise them with joy. Do something unique in their lives, something unique in their ministry, something unique in their witnessing life. Amen. Something unique in their knowledge of the word. Amen. Something unique in their expounding the word. Amen. Lord, may their fellowship with you become supernatural. Amen. Make them men and women of deep testimonies. Lord, they are few. But with this dedicated few, you will do exploits wherever they go. Your Shekinah glory will follow them. They will break yokes. The spirit of the fear of God is upon them. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of the knowledge of the word of God. The spirit of wisdom. Thank you, Father, that you are doing it. We give you praise. Father, this woman loves you. You are the God of all flesh. And there's nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, I'm laying hands on her. Let virtue pass through the head, the blood, the hands, the veins, the nerves, the brain, and every muscle of the body. I rebuke the yoke that has come upon her. I destroy the stroke that is upon her. Let the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead quicken this physical mortal body. Amen. A seed has been sown in you, and that seed will germinate into life. Amen. You will walk. You will walk. Amen. And you will work for God. Amen. Father, you are the beginning and the end. You have started something new in her right now. Lord, I ask that the brain may be repaired completely. Amen. Let every blot in the brain, every blot in the vascular system melt in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anything that has happened to the heart, Lord, repair it. Amen. You raised Lazarus from the dead. And therefore, what I'm bringing before you is not as big as that. All things are possible with you. We rejoice, Father. She will be a woman of testimonies. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may rise in this your strength, all of you. The Lord bless you.